presented here for your consideration the notion that the ordinary people surrounding you every day, on the street, the bus, at the post office, or the trendy evening venue, are, in fact, far from ordinary. That these men, women, and others form their own splinter groups behind closed doors, and that these micro-societies engage in activities often more obscure than fiction. Welcome to the Subculture.
Yes, hello, and thank you for joining us on the Subculture podcast. I'm your host and reconstructed cyborg janitor from the future, Andrew.
And I'm Joe, award-winning mediocre white man.
Those are a beautiful shelf full of awards. The most alabaster awards you'll ever see.
Very easy. People just give them to me. It's all about being mediocre.
That's our white male privilege talking.
Mm-hmm. I'm very confident.
Speaking of which, what could be a more diverse perspective on today's topic? Two white males. Today we are talking about the female dating strategy, or shortened to FDS. But this isn't just a strategy or general strategies women might use in the dating scene. This is something called the female dating strategy. The is quite important, I think.
Yes, it's become a community as well as an ideology.
Mm-hmm. So it's a specific targeted thing. Now, we usually, or actually, in fact, up top, there are going to be people that want to come at us for having any kind of negativity or opinion towards us, I would say. It seems like quite a venomous pushback in some places for it. And they'll say that we're part of the problem and we're chauvinist incels and things like that. But these are just our honest, unfiltered opinions on discovering this for the first time, I guess, as outsiders.
Also, I couldn't care less what anyone thinks of this podcast. I do this for enjoyment. I do this for me. I don't do this for for male or female ears. So, have at it.
For an all dolphin podcast here. I translate it to clicks afterwards. It's not for males or females.
I can't fault you.
Very few people can. FDS, the female dating strategy. I had absolutely no idea what this was before it was suggested, but some devilishly handsome Lothario described it to me and sort of said it was a shared tactical approach by women online to essentially extract maximum value out of men in the dating scene, if I recall your words correctly.
Oh, is that me?
Something along those lines.
Some devilishly handsome, mediocre white man. Yeah, I think that's about right. I'm trying to remember how I came across FDS for the first time, and I think it must have been during my Reddit phase of compulsive consumption of everything on Reddit, which probably didn't do me any good. But that's how I came across female dating strategy, I believe. People would reference it in other forums with a sort of a hush-hush or a, well, it could be worse. It could be like our female dating strategy. So I had a look at that, and that's how I became aware of this as a movement, an ideology, a subculture, a battle plan.
I guess probably a movement is about right. I mean, there's actually not a huge variety of sources on this, or at least I struggled to find them after doing literally hours of clicking. But a brief Google search kind of immediately yielded the exact subreddit you've mentioned, and then a whole website that says it's a spin-off from the our female dating strategy. And now they've got a dedicated podcast, Instagram account, and the various reactionary reacts to YouTube videos, which I...
The usual.
Fucking hate those things. I swear there's a fucking react to video for everything, like opening a can of tuna.
I just don't know how that ever became a genre. Why do people watch it? It just... I don't know.
Yeah, but someone must be. I mean...
Every day we stray further from God.
Those bottom feeders would somehow overreact to and at the same time make me switch off the apocalypse. Oh, we've gone off topic already. Female dating strategy.
Mm-hmm. It did originate on Reddit, and I think they had some trouble, one with people, unwelcome people, mostly men, maybe entirely men, commenting on it and generally harshing their vibe. And I think some, it was banned at some point, or talks about it being banned as a hate group, although I don't think it actually technically qualifies for that definition. So I think that encouraged them to get their own website, but they're still a subreddit, so whatever ban it was obviously didn't stick. But yeah, this is a Reddit-based community.
So largely it's a Reddit-started and a Reddit-spun-off subculture.
I think they have around 250,000 subscribers. Sorry, queens leveling up right now in a house near you. So it's quite popular.
I came across some things describing it for dumbasses like me who don't know anything about it. There was an article from the Australian Broadcasting Company, ABC, which came out in October 2020, which is like a news article, which kind of breaks it down, has some quotes from the community. And exactly like you said, it's encouraging women to level up and seek a high-value man to treat them like a queen. But beyond that, the description of what it is or what they're after is fairly vaporous.
I mean, that doesn't sound bad, does it, on the face of it?
No. On the face of it, and from what you can see in some places, it seems like they're empowering women, they're connecting, and they're supporting each other in the quagmire that is dating and relationships. But this is, as Dr. Emily Vandernagel of Monash University says, the easiest way to understand it is it's a reaction to pickup artistry and the game, which is male dating strategy that's been published in books and stuff for some time, and treats dating and relationships as a game, but from a female perspective, saying, look, most men out there are not marriage or relationship material or worth your time, essentially, right?
That's probably true. So far, I think little to disagree with. That on the face of it, yeah, level up, get what you want from dating. Although, what does level up mean? Improve yourself, I think, is that what that means?
I don't know. There's a few places that have jumped on level up as a term from video games, just using it wildly incorrectly, like the UK government having a minister for leveling up or something.
Don't get me started on that. Yeah, I think leveling up generally just means self-improvement. So FDS self-describes, I thought this is interesting. This was on the About section of their website when they had one of those. I don't think there's an About section
now. They still do.
I've got the website.
Oh, right.
What is FDS? Quote, we are a collective of women from all walks of life committed to developing, creating, and implementing strategies to take control of our lives and narratives and live a life of true empowerment. So far, so good. Sounds reasonable. What is the goal of FDS? FDS's goal is to deconstruct toxic and self-sabotaging cultural narratives that inhibit women from living their best lives and entering a relationship that truly benefits them. We believe in promoting self-advocacy, discarding victim narratives, and serving ourselves and future children. Yep. Begin to have a little bit of a question mark under serving ourselves and future children. But let's carry on. What is your methodology? Simple. Maximum female benefit. We seek to locate and define current cultural problems in dating and relationships and create concrete, actionable strategies to maximize our happiness and health while minimizing overall risk. We believe the collective mind is stronger than the individual and that dating strategy is best gleaned from the real experiences of women around the world. We center our methods in brutal realism, and it is, they do enjoy their brutal realism, or certainly the brutal part, about men and our current cultural climate. It's not aspirational, which is often impractical ideology. Each of our recommended strategies is weighed by overall risk versus reward based on real-world lived experience and available data to recommend the best course of action. This is, you know, that's all good. That's all good stuff, right?
But on the face of it, and I want to mention this more later, it's very fluffy terminology for saying self-empowerment and what sound like positive goals. And I don't think that it's very positive at all. I think it is, even a relatively sober and unbiased article does note that it has entrenched ideologies and it's not a safe space. And it's got a very specific version of dating, even for women who have come, seen it and left. But if we look at what they describe as their own ideology on our female dating strategy under the ideology section, and like you say, there's a lot that not to be argued with. So be a high value woman. If a man isn't chasing you, he's not that into you. Most straight men aren't relationship material for you. These are all kind of self-affirming positive things that you might,
I think that's true,
having a discussion with a friend, right?
Most people aren't suitable dating material. There's a quote later, I think, that it says most men are not suitable dating material or something like that. And it's totally true. Or most men have no value to you. I think that's fine. Most people don't have any value to anyone, so...
yeah. It's not about the men and women split. No. Just 99% of people,
yeah,
are trash.
Pretty much. That's my view.
And that's why you 99% out there should listen to and subscribe to our podcast.
Smash that subscribe button, you piece of trash.
So, as it goes down, even their own ideology does start to get relatively conservative.
Oh, it's definitely. They so happily claim to be conservative.
But they're also, they claim to be enlightened. They're feminist, but not feminist. So some of these conservative values, it's right there. Point number 5 in the ideology. Don't have sex before commitment has been established if you're looking for a relationship, or before he has demonstrated value and investment. And number 6, generous men are non-negotiable. Okay, so now we're starting to get into some quite old-fashioned ideas.
There's also a bit of a transactional vibe coming up.
Which is ironic because they are very much against kind of loose morals and sex work or anything pornographic as well. If a man's into it, then he should be immediately ghosted. If a woman is loose or has many sexual partners, she could be kicked off the sub for being, well, I guess years ago, or maybe still people would call like sexually liberated, that, you know, sleeping around and just for fun, women can get something out of this relationship. That's not just a male approach, but FDS has other ideas.
It also advocates if a man asks you about your sexual history, first of all, dump him. But secondly, if you're not going to do that, lie to him or tell him it's none of his business. Which I guess probably fair enough, but I don't think they necessarily hold themselves to the same standards that they hold men to. And I think they're quite upfront about that. This is not meant to be fair. This is just to benefit us. I think there's a sort of intellectual honesty to that.
Someone on the sub said, and they like to quote this in the podcast as well, they own it and flout it. It's the meanest women-only space on the internet, because it is brutal. It's women being brutal about men and to other women. Mm.
The brutality is a strong theme here.
I had a lot of discussion questions going in, and basically I was able to answer none of them. I know, maybe one. So is it a real thing, or is it just born out of incel paranoia? How widespread is this, and is there a geographical limit to it? And aside from the ideology points, what do they actually tell or show women to do or stand for? And I wasn't able to get a clear answer on basically any of that.
I don't think I've got a clear answer either. I want to come back to those questions, but shall we go through the 6 core principles of FDS, which I found? I mean, there's a ton of stuff, but this was kind of a distilled version. We'll see what we find here. Number 1, you are the prize. You, the woman. Women should approach dating with the mindset that they are the prize to be won, not the other way around. Number 2, high standards, no apologies. Women should never feel bad for having strong preferences or deal breakers. If a man doesn't meet them, he is a low-value male and should be dropped without hesitation. Number 3, radical vetting. Every man must be rigorously screened for signs of selfishness, low effort, or red flags. This includes observing his investment of time, money, consistency, and willingness to commit. Number 4, do you want to discuss these as we go? Or get...
Nah, you power through them.
Get the lot done. Number 4, no sex without commitment, as you mentioned. Number 5, male nature is not to be trusted. FDS views male behavior as primarily selfish, opportunistic, and potentially harmful unless checked by strong female boundaries. Number 6, level up or get left behind. Self-improvement is framed as a duty. Women are encouraged to improve their looks, finances, and mindset. I have actually seen some FDS articles saying you shouldn't have to improve your looks because something or other. But always in service of securing a better partner or raising their SMV, which is sexual market value. At the same time, they're told not to build with a man, only to join him when he's already successful. Thoughts?
That I did come across that as well, that too many women try to improve a low-value man and make him into high value. You need to immediately go for the best there
Let
is
them,
because you deserve it.
Let
All
some
of
other
you.
Sucker fix him.
No, just let him die alone
let
or something.
Rot. That's fine. No one's obliged to take on a project like that. That's his problem.
At the moment, it does sound like have high standards, think highly of yourself, and don't compromise on getting a partner that you deserve. And it is primarily focused on getting into a committed and heterosexual relationship, because it's, as one of the other quoted doctors noted that apart from being quite conservative, it's not really that queer friendly, and that a heterosexual relationship does seem to be the prize that they are pushing.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
So the article from that ABC news source had a quote from a sex and relationship coach named Ruth Sauter, who says that these women have likely had a bad experience in the past, and that it really sucks in vulnerable and angry people and kind of fuels those feelings, and suggests that probably the best way that it could work for women is to take what works for you and leave the rest.
I think that's...
As in probably the toxic culture. And so these rules and tenets that you've just mentioned, as you said, on the surface, those could be positive traits if you take it as aspirational. And I think the other one I heard was a lot of self-improvement is the thing you should focus on first, and making yourself high value before you even start thinking about dating.
There's an underemphasis on, are you high value as a woman? That's sort of, there's a lot of rhetoric in here that says you have inherent value as a woman. You are a queen. More or less, by having the higher your standards go, the higher the value you are, or the higher value you will be perceived as by men. There's not very much conversation about what men think makes a high value woman. That doesn't seem to be a concern. It's more about, it seems to be what do I want from men, and these are the standards that this man should meet. There doesn't seem to be much self-reflection on, do I meet his standards? Which is probably...
Or should I have any standards at all?
I think having standards is important.
This topic, this one of the ones that you brought to the table, and it has irked you for several reasons in your deep dives into it previously, but what do you make of these sort of tenets you've just read out so far?
Well, it used to irk me when I first came across it, and I was just like, this is so unreasonable. I'm going to argue with them. And it says on the FDS subreddit, this is not a debate sub. We don't care that you think it's wrong. Go away, debate somewhere else. This is not the place. And fair enough. But yeah, I didn't used to think that. And I don't know. I suppose that must have been about 10 years ago I came across it. And looking through it now, I am not filled with rage anymore looking at this. It's not about me. And I just think, is this philosophy makes sense if you think men, all men, are untrustworthy, selfish, hostile abusers, and it's a series of defenses to protect yourself against that? And if you view people like that, this philosophy, this ideology, strategy, system of beliefs, etc., makes total sense. And it's all focused on getting this, the prize, despite all men being scum and trash, is nonetheless still securing a man at the end of it. And it's full of contradictions as well, which I've got quite a few of them written down, which I like. It's been really interesting. But yeah, the prize at the end, despite you being the prize, is securing a high value man. But I think the core tragedy of this, if it's a tragedy, is the entire process designed to filter down to a high value man, attract one and retain one, is pretty much guaranteed to eliminate them from the available pool pretty early on. And I, without casting moral judgment on this, I just don't think it's going to work. It might make the people feel good. I think there's a lot of revenge fantasies being enacted here against men who are substitutes for previous men that have hurt women. But I don't think it's going to succeed in its stated aims of securing a high-value man.
I mean, you've touched on a couple of things that I noted as well. So firstly, you didn't read it 10 years ago because Verge, the trustworthy publication online that it is, says the sub was founded in about 2019. So we're now 6 years down the line. And as far as I can see, it's just turned into shilling catchphrases via a podcast, Patreon and merch, which I'll get to.
You're calling me a liar, Andrew.
I'm casting aspersions on your scientific methods, sir.
Well, maybe I time traveled to 2019 and it was all right, fine, it was 6 years ago then, feels like 10.
As a reconstructed janitor robot from the future, I can understand. So the first hour into my research, the rules of these subreddits and just the first bits and pieces you can come across, because I think some of it is blocked off behind walls, so you have to be an ardent member of
woman
to get to some of it, or it's just been taken down and or it's hidden in the wiki, so it's not initially available when you scroll through Reddit. But I was just kind of annoyed, and then I felt sorry for them but not necessarily for the women that engage with it, but rather the state of the world in general, if this is how the opposite sex view dating, and probably how men view it as well, if this is spawned out of or in a reaction to pickup artistry, like, I don't know, the likes of Andrew Tate and people like that, that will say, oh, I can guarantee that I can get any women with these six tips, because that's what it's accounted to, right?
So I think Andrew Tate is kind of the figurehead for the red pill movement, which is kind of related to this in a way. It's, they're kind of opposites, they're a bit different. But I don't think Andrew Tate is necessarily a pickup artist. That's a different thing. That focuses, I think it's just pretty narrow focus of how to get women to sleep with you and use these psychological tricks to achieve it, to manipulate, to do that. And some people say FTS is manipulating men to give you material benefit. So they're kind of mirror images from that point of view.
Okay, a few things I'm putting pins in to come back to. But so there's some terms. You use some terms there that will be repeated here, and we should do separate topics on as well. I think this is in response to the incel and red pill communities. Incel being involuntary celibates. That is guys who have got this complexion that women are withholding sex from them, that they deserve it, even though they are fairly shitty. It's filled with people like, oh, I'm such a nice guy and no woman will ever talk to me. And it's because you're a fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
And then red pill takes it even further. It's like, you should be terrible to women to make them sleep with you or something.
I don't think that's red pill. I've spent a little time dabbling in red pill philosophy because I heard so much about it. And I think red pill is more a longing for traditional gender roles. The man's the provider, he's the protector, he's the king of the house, and the woman is the homemaker, raises the children. She submits to him, he's the dominant one. And this kind of, they want this relationship dynamic to come back or to continue or develop it. And I just don't think it's unpopular in modern day thinking because it's incompatible with feminism and female empowerment and that kind of thing. I mean, there's different strengths of it. There's mild versions and very hardline versions. But I think it is actually possible. And some women want this too. But in the 50s, most men had jobs that could support a family growth, and you could have a wife at home who didn't need to earn anything. And that dynamic kind of made a lot more sense back then. And now that basically doesn't happen. Women earn as much as men in most instances, and no one's earning a salary that's enough to support a whole family, or at least very rarely. It can happen in occasional circumstances, like some banker earns a shit ton of money and he can afford to have a stay-at-home wife. But most of the time, this red pill view, it fails in the modern world, I think, because men are just not capable of providing this provisioning that they used to be able to, that was a cornerstone of masculinity. And they want the benefits that come with this provisioning, like if you view it as a benefit, a submissive housewife. But those days are gone.
I think I should have put trigger warnings on before you started talking there, because I think you've underrepresented how grim some of the red pill and incel philosophy are. And we'll definitely come back to that on a future episode because it's also fascinating. Mm-hmm. But those are loosely, those are the male sides of the coin. It's come up quite a few times in the articles and the searches that you'll find that the female dating strategy is red pill for women. And part of that is the material side that you've just mentioned as well, which is quite a core tenet of FDS and something that tends to be a sticking point and a big debating point, it seems. One of the things that they say you shouldn't compromise on when you're looking for a high value man is this concept that men need to give you top-notch premium dates and pay for everything on those dates. From the beginning, from date one, a high value date would be taking you out for dinner and paying for everything. And also a lot of small things like putting your jacket on for you, getting the door for you from a taxi, which I'm not against. I think that's polite. And I think certain waves of feminism would be absolutely abhorred by that because it's not equality, which FDS doesn't claim to be. Mm-hmm. They're not shouting for women's equality.
If anything, they shout for women's superiority.
But yeah, they do. The debate does often come down to the money side. Why should a man pay for everything on a date? A low value date, apparently, would be inviting someone out for drinks at a bar or a coffee shop or going to the park. That would get you ghosted by a follower of FDS.
They say that shows that he's not serious about you, that he doesn't really value you.
God forbid he should want to go and enjoy the outdoors with you, the bastard.
But I mean, that's true. Why would you value someone before you've even been on a first date with them? That doesn't make any sense. It could be anyone. Why would you investment? People invest more when they're more confident in something. And going on a first date with someone, you're confident of nothing. Maybe, unless you've known them for many years. But I just don't think that makes no sense to me. But there's definitely this through line of money, investment. They're always talking about investment. The man needs to be investing constantly, whether it's time, money, effort, and mostly money, I think, but you know, all of it. Money's a key part of this. And I think it shares that view with the red pill. Red pill men want to be these providers that splash the cash, but get submission in return. And FDS, I think, wants men to be those providers, but there's no submitting to the man. It's dominating the man. So I think they share that feature. I don't think they've got much in common with incels, other than incels seem to hate women, but also crave women at the same time. And FDS seems to hate men, but also still crave them at the same time. But FDS isn't incels for women. As they say, you know, sex is plentiful. Mostly, there are such things as female incels, femcels, but FDS is something else, I think. It's most similar to PUA culture, I think. PUA is specifically manipulative. Red pill, I don't think, is necessarily manipulative.
PUA standing for pickup artistry.
Yes.
I think they do share common traits with incels, or at least the discussion forums and the rampant hatred and disrespect from men in some places it's a venting point, which a lot of incel communities, I think, are. But what I saw in some of the FDS discussions are, you should basically be immovable, never wrong, and treat a man horribly if you can, but you expect him to be the prince and give you everything.
Yeah, never compromise. That's lowering your standards. And the thing about this, the catch-all, this can never be wrong. Because if a man, even if he initially seemed to be a high-value man, if he objects to any of this, being treated as a cash cow and someone demanding more and more investment, whether it's appropriate or not, if he balks at this, the second he does, he becomes a low-value man by default, by definition. And a high-value man wouldn't object to any of this because he's secure or whatever. It's self-fulfilling. It can't ever be wrong.
But this is where a lot, well, there's so many contradictions, but one of the massive ones here is how disrespectful and damaging I think this is for interpersonal relationships for anyone. You could take the genders out of it, and you can't expect to treat someone like that and receive different treatment in return. Do unto others. You know, I'm not a Christian and I don't, you know, hold the Bible up as a standard to live your life by when it's got incest and talking donkeys throughout it. But how can it feel good to be on the receiving end of either of these strategies, or the game or female dating strategy? And how is this a long-term viable option? Let's say you land a high-value man. You get everything that you want in this person. He treats you well. He pays for stuff, which, you know, some of us out there are not against. But then you say, oh, yeah, I never would have got together with you if I hadn't followed the advice of FDS. And you go, what's that? You have to explain it to him. It's all about hooking the big white whale kind of thing. They're going to be like, what? you went and saw this website of manipulation techniques and how to treat men badly. And that's what you think I am? That would make me walk away.
There's two flaws with that. One, that man would never be there in the first place. He wouldn't have made it through the filtering. If he had any self-respect, a high-value man's not going to put up with...
He asks questions.
Yeah. And two, you would never respect a man enough to actually tell him what you did. Treat them more like dogs. You wouldn't explain your investment strategy to a dog, would you?
I frequently do at 3 o'clock in the morning with whiskey breath, screaming at... This is why I bought so much crypto, boys!
Why is Ethereum down? I should buy...
Fuck you, dog! Dogecoin's the way!
Buy the dip, you say? Okay. But yes. The double standards...
Their investment strategy in bacon has been sound up to this point, I'll say.
Bacon is skyrocketing. To the moon! The double standards are rampant. And again, FDS doesn't claim to be fair. It just says, we want to do what's the absolute best female outcome. So it doesn't try to treat each other the same. It basically tries to hoodwink or get an advantage over men as much as possible. But if you believe in the principle of treat others the way you would like to be treated, then there's a...
You're low value.
Who cares what you think?
Scumbag.
And yeah, I've lost my train of thought now.
Sorry, that happens when I scream at you.
They tend to treat men in the exact same way they claim to hate being treated by men, which is hypocritical. But again, if we're viewing this as a battlefield or a war, you don't fight fair in war. You take every advantage you can. So one example of this is they encourage each other to date multiple people at the same time whilst vetting these potential partners. But they also say at the same time, men are disgusting. They're always trying to play the field or juggling women, and you need to lock him down to dating you as soon as you can. If he suggests it too soon, that's a red flag because he's trying to trap you. If he says it too late, it means he's not interested in you.
See, this is why I could confuse. What do you want? Just tell me what you want. They can't tell you what they want.
I think what comes through this unspoken is what they want is security and control and a defense against being hurt. Because I think most women that come to FDS, I get the feeling of being badly treated by a man previously in their life. I think it's very telling that in the number one, the highest ranked book in their self-help reading list is a book called Why Does He Do That by Lundy Bancroft, which is about abusive relationships, how to recognize them, survive them, extract yourself and recover from them. I've read that book. It's very good. And if anyone finds themselves in an abusive relationship, wait, everyone should read it anyway. It's a great book. But I think it's not an accident that that's placed highly up there. I think this entire movement ideology is I hate to use the stupid therapy term, but a trauma response to being abused by a man and then thinking, all men are like this. That's never going to fucking happen to me again. This is what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to treat them all like violent criminals and expect them to be bad. And it doesn't matter if I treat them like shit because they're scum anyway, but I will protect myself. And I think from that point of view, it probably works. I think it does serve to protect yourself from... I mean, there's things like don't tell a man anything significant about you for the first 6 months because he'll use it against you.
Yeah, there's also help guides on how to hide your finances from a man. And sorry, this came from a Quora. God, do you remember? It seems to be like, it used to be Yahoo Answers that people went to, and now it's all Quora questions, people asking stuff on there. But they were saying that there is some pretty shady stuff on there, strategies on how basically to defraud men, getting around prenuptial agreements, make bogus accusations, illegally gaining access to spouses' bank accounts unbeknown to the partner.
Damn.
That kind of thing is listed in there.
That's some pretty Machiavellian sociopathic shit.
Yep.
I don't think that's mainstream FDS. They don't seem to talk so much about the actual nitty-gritty of getting all up in a man's business like that, but I don't think it's a big stretch to see that promoted. I don't think anyone would argue against that in the community. Maybe I'm doing them a disservice there.
Your conclusion is agreeing with what the sex and relationship coach was saying about it sucking in vulnerable and angry people and fueling them. And it kind of gives them an echo chamber of other women who have treated the same way. And it's quite rage against the manosphere, which we also need to cover because I don't know what that means apart from the two manospheres between my legs.
Please don't tell me about the rage of your manospheres.
That's a whole different podcast I host entirely from my pants. There's quite a lot of pushback on these kind of topics as well, on these threads, like when people ask Kiora what is FDS. There was someone calling herself a middle-aged old school feminist, finds it repugnant, which is her words and a great word. She says feminism is about a desire for equal treatment, but both this and incels and red pill seem obnoxious, shallow, disrespectful and damaging.
Yeah.
And another great one was about the promoting of illegal activities. It's the female equivalent of red pill, pure and simple. It equates as toxic, narcissistic, sociopathic behavior.
When I punched into YouTube female dating strategy explained, it brought up two adverts. One was a test for whether I'm a narcissist or not, and the other was for whether I needed counseling. So I don't know why or not. I don't know how they decided to target those adverts. Maybe it was a coincidence. But I don't think every woman that gets into FTS is a narcissist. That term gets massively abused these days. People just say, oh, he's a narcissist if he did something you didn't like, or she. But yeah, I think this is an echo chamber, like any online community. But I think do you get the impression anyone in this community is happy?
The people making money off their fellow women in the community, the ones that are leading it, certainly seem to be.
I was tempted to buy some of the merch. Imagine that, an FDS hoodie. I should get an FDS thong.
Do you think they would just send the money back to you?
Don't need my scrote money.
Okay, that's good. You've just dropped some of the terminology, which I wanted to get to.
We should come back to the miserable echo chamber. I think there's some good stuff in there, but...
Tell me more.
Are happy people coming to the internet to go on this forum, explain what pieces of shit men are, and be involved in this blistering, cathartic hive of negativity? Does anyone come back with a success story, or do happy people just go away and mind their own business? So I think if this advice works for people, they probably just leave the community and don't come back. And then you've got people in the community that I saw someone who said, she stated her credentials as being a 40-year-old, never married, never lived with a man, and had a good career or something else. This was meant to be, I've been around the block, I know what I'm talking about. But it's also, well, you're still here. You've failed in the goal of attaining a high-value man and having a happy life. Why should anyone listen to you? For the exact reasons you say you're credible are the reasons you shouldn't be listened to, I think.
Another contradiction. Yeah, I guess if your goal is to get a high-value man and you're saying, I'm 40 and I've never had one, I've never lived with one.
You might be doing something wrong.
Aren't these strategies therefore not working? What do I know? I'm a piece of shit.
Maybe they do work and people leave the community and live happy lives, but you don't see many success stories. Sure, they're out there because they have to be. But I just get the impression that I think this is a phase that hurt women go through or can go through. It's very cathartic. You had a shit relationship with an abusive man. It's very tempting to say, all men are shit. I'm not going to give them the time of day again, or everything's going to be on my terms. I'm going to control everything. I'm not going to put up with the abuse that I did last time. And I think FCS offers empowerment in that form. Everything is designed to give the woman control, make all the significant decisions, to get all of the significant benefits, none of the risk, none of her own investment, not even any effort. There's a quote later that says, dating for a woman should be easy and effortless. You shouldn't have to do anything. I'm paraphrasing. I'll quote properly later. And, it's just offering this fantasy. Like, that's so appealing. Why would you not want that when you've just been fucked over by someone? Apart from the fact it's clearly unrealistic. But I think it feels like a place for women to vent and then, one, maybe get it out of the system and go back to treating men normally. Or two, it's just a place to vent. And because this is an internet community, primarily, and I think virtually exclusively, I'd love to know how many people who are keyboard warriors who say they dumped 30 men this week for looking at them wrong actually implement these lessons in their real relationships. How many people really live by this code, and how many just say they do because they achieve sort of group approval?
Builds their EPIN, sorry, EVAG. Maybe that catharsis is the first stage of grief. There's the five stages of grief that are fairly well documented or
denial,
respected.
Anger, this is your bargaining, depression, acceptance.
Yeah, or I thought it was anger first, but it's probably that stage, right? You come online, you scream about it, you go, oh, screw all men. But then at some point maybe you can take the positive bits about improving yourself and having high standards and ditch the rest of the toxicity. Like, don't get embedded in the community and the culture would be the way to actually succeed at the goals.
Yeah, I mean, there are positive lessons to take from it. Things like don't tolerate disrespect. That's a good one. And we've probably all been guilty of that at some point in our lives, tolerating treatment by someone from someone that we shouldn't do.
I also found an article on this by Mel magazine, which I don't know how much stock we want to put in it for this particular topic, given it's claimed it's a publication for men and it's about the lost art of manliness and other things.
The Noble House of Mel. The prestigious publishing house of Mel.
We can take that with a pinch of salt. But they've got the referral to it as the meanest female-only place on the internet from an ex or active member of it. And they are also drawing this comparison to Red Pill in that both are steeped in deeply pessimistic and gender-essential views of the other sex, which is what we're talking about. You know, you have to be fairly down on the people you want to date to see them this way. And it does seem to appeal to the most lonely, vulnerable, and romantically unsuccessful, at least in the short term. And having said that about Mel magazine, which I know nothing about, it was written by a Melanie Holden. So maybe there's a female perspective on there.
Mel, maybe she owns the magazine. It's been subverted from the inside. Masculinity's under attack.
But yeah, one of the funny things they said, or one of the interesting things in there, which you can see when you scroll the community as well, is around some of the lingo. But as it's a Reddit started community, there's flair awarded to members themselves based on how active they are in the community. And there's this whole terminology of women who don't follow these tenets and fall back on old ways or get kicked out for various things. So it was so funny that they have women first and you should be empowered and we are all queens. They literally also immediately establish a hen pecking order to put each other down.
Oh yeah, basically any behavior that is remotely nice to men is deemed pick me behavior. They call them pick me-shes. Yeah, that's
which is also racist.
It is. Is it like a,
apparently,
is it like a geisha or something? Pick me-sha.
Yes. It's like cultural appropriation.
Well,
pick me's, pick me-shes.
All round.
So there's a whole embedded community language.
I love the language. So good. Let me get some highlights for you. Bang made. This is what men want, apparently. A woman that is treated like a second mummy that you can also sleep with by an incompetent, immature man who has little respect for her. This is the ideal role most LVM, low-value men, are looking for women to fulfill. I've heard bang made before.
It came from Always Sunny, I'm sure. Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's what Frank refers to someone's mum as.
That, in broad strokes, in an uncharitable way, is what the red pill view wants in a woman. In a less charitable way, sorry, in a more charitable way, they still value women as people, but yeah, bang made. Some people do just want bang maids, and they're shit bags. I'm not going to defend them.
It goes with their tenet that you should also never live with a guy before marriage, or before marriage is like committed to, because then apparently that's like an Xbox achievement for a man, that you've got a live-in girlfriend who does everything for you, and you've got sex on tap, so therefore he has no incentive to marry you after that, apparently. It's game over for women if you move in with a guy and he doesn't marry you, because he never will.
Yeah, it shows he's not serious, apparently. Never mind that moving in with someone is a massive commitment, and you're learning all things about them that you couldn't learn apart, but I kind of see the twisted logic to that, but for me, you know, I love living alone. It's not that I don't want to live with my girlfriend when that day comes. I do, but it will not be, I don't see it as just an outright, oh, this is only going to benefit me. I've got a live-in sex on tap and cleaning. I don't think that at all. But, you know, I like my own space. I like things arranged the way I like. It is a sacrifice.
A high-value man also hires a cleaner, you know. A high-value man wouldn't have you doing your own cleaning. I read that on their forums as well.
I used to have a cleaner. Don't you know? Terribly poor.
It's quite normal over here for the guys in the office say that, you know, the ones that have committed long-term girlfriends and wives say that they have someone come in just to help keep the place tidy. But they're both working. Mm-hmm. They're both working professionals, the man and the woman, or the man and the man. And therefore, they don't necessarily have the time to do it all the time. So having a cleaner is fine.
Apparently. Totally. I'd much rather have the time. I fucking hate cleaning. Not so much because I hate the act of doing it, but 2 hours every week is quite a significant amount of my time. I'd rather do something else with it and pay someone to do it.
There's specific terminology.
Yep, sorry, let me carry on with that, shall I?
Yeah, give us another few examples.
Bitch, a confident woman that knows her standards and refuses to lower them for any man. So they're sort of reclaiming this, I guess, as a male insult is now a badge of empowerment. Good for them. Big dick energy, we've heard this one a lot. BDE, a certain aura emanating from a male that indicates he'll deliver an unforgettable sexual experience.
And on the opposite side, small peen energy. Yep. I've seen them out as well.
That's cool.
Scrote. I saw that one a lot. Basically, any man is a scrote.
Yeah, scrote roughly translates as dickhead. It gets bandied around a lot. This one's brilliant, though. Scrotation. A rotation of suitors you are currently dating but are not in an exclusive relationship with. Scrotating.
Which goes against your own principles.
Yeah, exactly. When a man does it, it shows he's not serious. When you do it, it's just sound practice.
When a man does it, he's a scrote, but you should have several scrotes on the go at once.
You're a queen. Queens need multiple scrotums. I don't know. That's just too good, that phrase. There's also Cockholm syndrome. This isn't what I thought it meant, though. I thought it's basically...
Some of these bitches are funny. I'll give them that.
They are. Give the devil her due. So, Cockholm syndrome, a woman who is so male-identified that they defend the worst men beyond all logical reason. These women are actively self-harming through their relationships with men. I thought it was more like, but it would be more like being dick dumb. You know, you can't leave a man because the dick's too good. I thought that's a better term for Cockholm syndrome.
This is, yeah, Stockholm syndrome, starting to identify with your character. Yeah. So they're excusing bad male behavior.
Drive-by therapy. When a new man you're getting to know tries to use you as his personal therapist to forge intimacy fast before jetting off with his ego freshly stroked. Sob stories may or may not be real, depends on what mood he's in. I think they generally treat men opening up as attempts to manipulate.
Several categories of low-value men, and things like being clingy, i.e. asking for attention, and opening up too much, having any kind of mental disorder, like a properly diagnosed one, that gets
having needs of any kind is low-value behavior. It's not about his needs. That's not important. That's not what this is about.
Because he already gets them met all the time by all of society. I think that's enough.
That's enough.
Fine. Because, all right, so the case I'm building here. We've got specific terminology. We've got rankings of people in the community. We've got it being completely closed off to outsiders, especially men. But like, if you join the community, you can get booted out fairly swiftly. Punishments inside the community for minor infractions, like saying anything against being a queen or being too pro-feminism, will get you kicked out. These are the behaviors of a cult. This has a cult mindset. Look at Scientology and its language. It draws someone in when you've got rankings and you're better off than this person and this is the status you want to achieve. And the terminology means that you're so ingrained in this that you can't have conversations with someone outside of it because they're like, I don't fully get it. It keeps you inside that. There's a lot that's very culty about FDS. And I thought, oh, I'm so clever for coming up with this. But then I sound some fucking horrendous YouTuber saying exactly the same thing. And I was like, I thought of it independently. Emma Thorne, who I swiftly switched off because she was irritating as fuck. And I don't know how people listen to YouTubers, especially British ones.
I came across her. I thought she was charming. I subscribed.
Of course you fucking did.
She took some different takes from this, I think, but probably generally along the same lines.
And I think an example of how it really sounded culty to me was in trying to decipher, when I was trying to answer my question of what should an FDS following woman be like? What is a high value woman? It was the thing they said several times was an immovable mover. Like the thing about never being wrong. And if you are wrong, you're too right to be wrong or something like this. But it was, apart from that, it was very nothingy. It's cyclical logic. You should be a queen. A queen is the queeniest queen she can be because she's always a queen and she always has been a queen. It's nothing. It doesn't tell you anything, but it just reinforces that stupid vocabulary over and over and over.
Women are queens because all women are queens. You're a woman. You're a queen. Yeah.
Unless you're a pick me.
So what defines a cult? It's insular, right? It shuns alternative beliefs and ideologies. It keeps itself ideologically pure. They usually have a cult leader, don't they? And you're not allowed to question them. I don't think these guys have a leader.
They fucking do. These ones that run the podcast, the official podcast that's come off of this Reddit forum, I would say they are up there in the echelons of
high,
FDS society.
High-ranking FDS.
Exactly that. They're the ones that, you know, maintain and moderate the website and the Reddit as well. The Reddit just now seems to exist to push the podcast. And this is also classic down-the-line cult behavior. Once you've got the followers in and it all starts off as happy-clappy and it's just a magazine. No harm in that. This is how some of the really dark ones like Shinrikyo in Japan started. It was just like a men's magazine for sci-fi. But they get the followers in and then it's, you need to make them give up their previous beliefs and views. They get sucked in with
break
the lingo.
Break up their connections.
And then you take all their money. And what do these guys have now? Subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the Patreon, buy the merch. They are
Aren't
now
we gonna do that?
6 years down the line.
Isn't that our plan?
Yes. Join our cult, join our cult, join our cult. Leave your family. Obey my dog.
Buy the subculture thong.
We will print one of those. Now that you've said it.
I've got the prototypes coming in the mail.
I can see one on your delicious form right now.
My acne-rattled buttocks.
Don't shake it in that direction. Bits fall out. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like...
Yeah, I think they're at that point. They're bleeding this, paying for subscribers, and they're now bleeding their followers.
Do you have to pay on Reddit to see stuff?
Don't know. Too cheap.
I thought Reddit was still open. I don't know. It feels to me like it's a bit of a stretch to call it a cult. Doesn't a cult have to be physical in some way? Like you physically gather and meet in a place? Because they tend to like live in a village, like an isolated... I don't know. I don't think they have any mechanism of cutting people off from their support networks.
I'm exaggerating for comic effect to say that they are a cult, but they have culty practices and cult vibes. Maybe they're cult light.
Cult light.
Diet cult.
I don't know, man. That feels like a reach to me. I think it's just a belief system that tries to defend itself and stay ideologically pure. I think that could be applied to any culture, subculture that has an internet presence, especially one that starts on Reddit.
Doing some subliminals. Buy our podcast.
Leave your family.
Obey my dog. Obey my dog. So buy our Patreon.
Buy Doge.
So we often get into the dark side of our
Is there
our
a
topics.
Light side?
I don't know that this has a specifically dark side. It's all pretty dark. I think we've covered that it can be, but under the surface, and once you delve into especially the forum posts, it's a fairly toxic community, even to each other.
I don't think it's dark as in has a sinister side. I hesitate to say anything that they're doing is wrong.
If the people that posted on responses to that, what is FDS kind of questions around these illegal activities and strategies around the bank account
wrong.
Stuff.
Maybe that's the dark side.
That would be its dark side, I think. And some of that is mentioned in the Mel article as well, you know, punishing their dissidents and kicking out pikmishas. But some of the things that they tell you not to do is also fairly poor in like just not having a boyfriend in their 20s. They're almost creating incels.
Well, that's society's problem, isn't it? Also, with incels are very self-pitying. They say there's no hope and they just wallow in it. FDS at least encourages active improvement and actively seeking what you want. So I think that's quite a big difference between the two. And the harsh reality of the world is some people aren't desirable. Most people can do something to improve their lot, but some people are so far down in the hole that, yeah, it is hopeless for them. And I mean, that sucks. That's a very miserable place to be, but it doesn't mean society owes them anything. It's just bad fortune. Society owes them, you know, respect and decency, but not a partner.
What goes around comes around as well, though. You need to be decent to someone to kind of earn that as well, rather than you inherently deserve the respect of all the best people, even though you are a terrible person yourself.
Reciprocity is a pretty universal human behavior standard. The reciprocity principle runs deep. If someone does something good for you, you are almost honor bound to do something good for them. And likewise, one ill turn deserves another. So I think FDS completely throws out that principle. And I think it goes against the normal nature of human relationship.
You see that in their abhorrence of the 50-50.
Oh, they hate that
idea. That would be women splitting a bill or offering to pay for something the next time. So this was part of what my good lady wife had real difficulty wrapping her head around as well, in that, and I think her strategy, if you want to call it that, was, or her logic was fairly sound from when she was dating. She was like, if someone offered to buy you dinner, that's okay, and she's fine with splitting the bill. But what was, you don't necessarily need to feel like you owe them something if they buy you dinner. But what she said was kind of her go-to, if someone was, or the bill came, you've had a meal with someone, if you didn't want to see them again, you offered to split the bill. That's almost like the way out, like, that's the escape. Yeah, I'll split the bill with you because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to come back to you. I don't want to owe you a second date. I don't want to have to have any turn.
I don't want to be in your debt in any way.
Now, FDS says that, of course, a woman wouldn't be in a man's debt if he did pay for the bill, which is true.
It's bare minimum.
If a man buys you dinner, he's not entitled to anything from you. I believe in that. I don't think that's unfair. There's that reciprocity thing. You know, we still do it now. If one of us picks up the bill for a dinner, maybe the other one next time goes, oh, sorry, no, you got the last one. I'll get this one, because it's a shared respect.
Yeah. There's definitely a through line of resources should be transferring from the man to the woman in this ideology. And they're not completely blind to the economics of it. What they offer in return is access to them. And they're so amazing that makes it a fair trade, which I think most people would disagree with, that a massive one-way flow of resources and effort is not sufficiently compensated by someone just being them. That is not a fair trade.
Who's looking for a relationship where they go, oh, I definitely want the other person to be a complete sinkhole for yes, my time, money, and
consumptive pit for everything.
An all-consuming force.
Yeah, who then treats me like shit into the bargain while she dates other people.
Sign me up.
Yeah, that's cool.
Did you come across the YouTuber Shoe on Head, I think she's called?
Yes.
And she put a couple of videos out that are called Female Dating Strategy. And I think there's a lot of reacts to videos of her video that I think people have got confused that she's part of FDS or is being pro it. But what she's doing is sort of an answer to incel threads that she'd done previously and pointing out like some completely batshit crazy text message type responses from women to men where the man is being the reasonable one. I'm saying men, these are probably all children, like 18 or 20 years old from the content of the messages. It'll be stuff like, hi, how are you? Oh, sorry, I've got a girlfriend, please don't text me. And then just the response from the woman is six straight messages of abuse, like, you've got a small penis, I wasn't even into you anyway. Oh my God, you think anyone would ever like you? You should go hang yourself.
They are quite astounding. But that's nothing to do with female dating strategy. Capital F, capital D, capital S. I think her video entitled The Female Dating Strategy, I think she's totally unaware of FDS as a thing. And she's just mocking women who can't handle rejection.
Yeah, she's pointing out that women are also batshit crazy on messages, just like any man would be like that, saying, oh, you're such a bitch.
Which happens all the time. Kind of stuff. I think we've probably portrayed this, but I'm not defending men or women in this. Men and women are both entirely capable of being despicable pieces of shit. I think most people, unless you scrutinize them, probably don't act with very good integrity anyway. So I just wanted to establish that whilst I might be critiquing aspects of FDS, I'm in no way saying men are faultless here.
I think that it doesn't need to be a battle line of genders. If you were interested in dating men, you'd come across just as many pieces of shit as women, I think is where we would agree on this. And this is why it just made me kind of despair reading some of these things, but then also knowing that it's also reactionary to having been treated that way in the first place, and incels and red pill type culture exists as well as a counter to this. They're all just terrible. It's just people being terrible to each other. And I was like, this is just makes you sad.
Yeah.
That's probably 90% of the world out there. Is it doesn't matter what you draw the line around, like I'm on this side, you're on this side, I'm just going to find a reason to be absolutely terrible to you.
People are only hurting themselves with this philosophy is how I feel, really. They might briefly hurt other people, but then they leave. So hopefully it kind of weeds itself out over time. I think it's something people might pass through and they see eventually it doesn't work and they go back to acting reasonably and it does, or it doesn't work and they stay single and take themselves out of the dating pool. Fine. I don't have any strong emotional reactions about this. I mostly feel sorry for the people that believe in this system because they've probably been hurt and this isn't going to get them what they want. And it's just not very nice.
It's not very nice, is it? It's not nice to do that to someone. Don't say that. That's not nice.
So I'm going to go through some of what I think are the biggest flaws in the ideological framework. Some of these are going to be rough. So number one, you do not get to be demanding if you aren't attractive. The more demanding you are, the more attractive you have to be. And I think that is not baked in anywhere. There's no sort of question of how desirable are you, what can you get away with, what kind of man can you pull. The assumption is you're a 10 out of 10 queen, you're amazing, you don't need to think about any of this. You can do anything you want because you're the prize. And it's just not true, man. We've all got to be realistic about what we bring to the table. You know,
physical attraction is always going to be a part of
it is
a relationship,
especially for men. That's one of the biggest things men look for. Women look for a lot more attributes than that, but there's no getting around it. A averagely attractive woman is, I won't say never, but it's very, very unlikely to end up with a 10 out of 10 attractive guy who's rich, handsome, culturally sophisticated, intelligent, funny, generous, you know, all of this stuff, with just a plain Jane person who is also demanding. Why on earth would he put up with that?
But they also then slag off incel culture, which they called out the ones going, oh, Margot Robbie's just, you know, average these days. So they're doing exactly the same thing, that men are body shaming women for not being attractive enough, but they're expecting it to not work the other way around. Oh, you shouldn't go out with a man with a small penis. That's also one of their things. That's an attraction thing.
Have you seen the state of Tinder here? It is disgusting. The men are disgusting. The women consistently on dating apps, they've done studies, rate 80% of men as below average, which is statistically not true. Women are quite harsh judges of men. Men that they don't know. Men rate women on a bell curve, women that they don't know. So most women they rate as average, and some they rate as hot. Women that know men, well, the men they know, they rate on the same bell curve much more favorably. But men that are strangers to them, they're extremely critical.
Rating based on attractiveness, both genders. Yeah, for sure. That's all I'm getting.
And if you don't have much to offer, then you're not going to get much, is the reality, I think. So I think this teaches, FDS teaches women how to demand value from men, but not how to offer value in return. I don't think that question ever enters the mind. What does the man want here? Don't need to answer that. You're a queen.
Because they're gaming you. They're all gaming you. It's not about what they want, because all men want is sex.
Pretty much. So sex is deliberately weaponized in this system, explicitly weaponized to get what you want. It's withheld until certain hoops are jumped through, and it's continually used as a tool. I got asked myself the question, do any FDS acolytes actually like fucking? Because it seems to be more of a, you know, like, I guess I'll go pick up my hammer and do some hammering today. I guess I'll go have sex with my man because the manipulation schedule says it's time, because I need to get...
Yeah. I just wanted that. It does seem to be like, no woman enjoys sex, let's be honest, ladies.
they're also very against BDSM, sort of, and they are big on kink shaming. This is really interesting. And they view it as, you know, things like spanking, choking, sexual violence is men who are sick on porn, which they also hate porn. Actually, I think porn's probably a very underrated threat. I think it's a lot more sinister than we give it credit for in the mainstream, but that's neither here nor there. Another flaw, the men that tolerate this kind of poor treatment are likely horribly flawed in some way and probably not desirable anyway. So this is the major problem with the system. What kind of man who has value, who has options, who's desirable? Because we're talking about top tier, high value men here. Most women are going to want that. What kind of man would put up with this behavior when if he has self-respect? And also, they like dominant men, but also want them to submit completely. Like, that dude doesn't exist. That's a fantasy. That's like a romantasy novel.
Don't be such a chauvinist, but also he needs to hold the door for you and get the taxi for you and put your jacket on. Otherwise, you should immediately stop talking to him.
Yeah.
For some of the stuff that I basically read.
I don't think that guy exists. It's not possible to exist by definition. They don't take personal accountability. If they do take any accountability or force it on others, the solution is always to raise your standards and enforce them more vigorously. Not to change yourself, your values, your strategy. Women are never at fault in this, and that prevents genuine growth.
That's the unmovable mover thing. You need to understand that you are always right, no matter what the scenario is. But the unmovable mover, oh God, I need to find it because it's so...
Unmovable mover. Backwards. I mean, that captures it quite well. It's something that can't possibly be true.
I'm going into the handbook. Becoming a high-value woman. High-value woman. Being an... Okay, I got it. So everyone here realizes that the women should be in charge of how things go. We realize that women should never be parenting men. Yep. She's the unmovable mover, or that which moves without being moved. She seems trustworthy and reliable because you know she is how she is and she won't be any other way. And you understand precisely what to expect from her. This makes children feel safe when their parents are immovable. It makes men feel safe in a good way too.
That's nice.
What? Note that being an immovable mover doesn't mean you can never admit when you're wrong. An immovable mover who's done a wrong thing at some point is so immovable that saying, sorry, I did that, doesn't threaten their position.
That's good, right?
Did you understand any of that? It's just cult speak.
Be firm. It does say apologize if you're wrong. You shouldn't be afraid of it. But I think that's in isolation. That goes against everything else that's said, that basically you can't be wrong by default. Something else I think is funny in this is, whilst the women, presumably women, maybe it's just Russian bots, I don't know, on the forum posts.
That would be amazing. The whole of FDS is actually
just a psyop.
It's just Russian bots.
Arguing with each other and arguing with Western men. I don't know.
We're going to find it's our generation's MK Ultra. This was actually started by the CIA to make sure that men are unattached and therefore more eligible to join the
army. Crazier things have happened, man. This is the sort of thing Russia literally does do. Another thing I think is a giant flaw. All the talk of standards, you know, making a man, no matter what, always do these things. And, you know, he must do X, Y, and Z, or he's low-value male. Bear that in mind, and imagine if Henry Cavill shows up at your door wearing jeans and a T-shirt and flip-flops.
A wife beater.
They're wearing a wife beater and says, hey, do you want to go for a coffee? No woman is turning that down.
No, no. All of them are. They can't go on a coffee date with him. He didn't offer to pay for their dinner. Fuck Henry Cavill.
He's a low-value man. He's a scroat. Yeah. I mean, in reality, that's just... They would literally claw each other's eyes out to be the first out of the door to go get that £2 Pret coffee with him. So...
They like Keanu Reeves. I saw that. There's a lot of pro-Keanu stuff on their forums.
Really? He's a cool dude.
Keanu's a high-value man.
A literal movie star, yeah, who doesn't have any sexual assault cases to his name. You know what? I think that does make him high-value. I hope that's not the bar.
Not having sexual assault cases.
Yeah.
Why is that? Are you worried that it rules you out?
No. Simultaneously, not having sexual assault cases, that should be like the floor, but also being an A-list Hollywood actor. So I think that's nonsense. There's a Henry Cavill clause there.
The Cavill clause.
Let's look at some underlying assumptions, which I think are wrong as well. Assumption, a man investing money means he values you. No, not necessarily. Have you aware of sugar daddies?
I've heard the term.
Yeah. So not always. It can be manipulation, habit, strategy, or he's got no other fucking choice because he's punching out of his league and is afraid you'll walk away unless he throws money at you. So... that one doesn't make any sense. Setting high standards means you are high value. I think this is a key one. Your standards have nothing... I can set my standards as a mediocre white man as high as I want. And that's fine. People can set any standard they want. That's a beautiful thing about it. Doesn't matter what your standard... How high you raise them. It's only you that benefits or suffers from this. So you do what you want. But if I raise my standards so high that I will only date Hannah Fry, that's all well and good. But that doesn't mean she's going to drop the restraining order. So
doesn't mean she's showing up anytime soon, yeah.
Doesn't mean she's showing up, yeah.
I don't even know who that is.
She's a scientist TV presenter / walking angel. Don't worry about me. I'll be in my bunk.
Oh, the wank sock's coming out again.
Sorry, Hannah. Cover your ears.
Hello, Claudette. I think you've picked quite a few logic holes in the strategy, in the mindset, and in the general vibe and tone of their forum.
I would have less of a... Do I have a problem with it? I don't know. I think they're only really hurting themselves. I think it's just not going to work. That's the brutal truth of this, as far as I'm concerned. I don't think it's a very nice way to go about things anyway, but on top of that, it's just not going to work.
I guess, yeah, if we can roll around to what are your takeaways from this? I know we can say, is it sexual? There's a sexual element.
For sure. To be weaponized and deployed strategically.
So I think that's a self-answering question.
Yeah.
You've noted this. Would you be into this? No.
No, categorically no. From the beginning, no.
The answer, we can just throw it out there because, as you said, you don't think it'll work. And as my poor example making goes, what man is going to respond positively to A, being treated like... men will put up with a lot of things for sex. If you were to tell him, yeah, I landed you through FDS, you should be grateful to have me, then that's you done.
Yeah, it wouldn't get that far. My closing thoughts... I think, I know I've said this already, I guess I'll sum it up. Oh yeah, and I wouldn't be into this as a woman, and I'm not into it as a man. I've been on first dates where I've paid, and that's been fine. But as soon as, men are very attuned to gold digging and entitlement. And as soon as that is detected, men become very, very skeptical and cautious, even if sex is on the table. I think the whole movement comes about from women that have been hurt by shitty men, and it's a way to... one, vent their frustrations about the shitness of those people, and they now lump all men together as a monolith, as one person, It's a way to exert control on a situation, gain control back in your future relationships, or at least it's portrayed that way. These strategies are all designed to improve your position, get you the upper hand, which is probably cathartic because in the previous shitty relationships, that was probably lacking. I think it's designed more to be self-protecting than it is to actually succeed in its aims of attaining a high-value man. I don't think it can work. I hope it's a phase that women pass through, get that catharsis of bitching with other women about shitty state of the world. I mean, I've done the same thing. I'm not necessarily proud, but I'm not necessarily ashamed either. I think it's part of the process. I had shitty relationships where afterwards I've cursed the state of women, even whilst intellectually knowing it's not all women, it was just that one. You can't make these generalizations, but nonetheless, it still felt good for a while to bitch and seethe about women and assume they're all out to get you. But I grew out of that after a couple of months of that rage. And I hope the women that find some solace in FDS will move on to the same thing as well, because I think their lives will be better when you stop treating men as adversaries and dating as a battle. You're encouraging more of the negativity that you also want to avoid. So I just don't think it's the way. Is this going to increase or go away? I think it's probably going to increase as social media makes us more and more polarized and puts us into echo chambers, and it'll just get worse. But that all said, I have never dated a woman who behaved like this. Maybe they thought these things in private, but they didn't behave like that. So I don't know how much real world impact it really has. I think it's largely limited to the internet, to the warring trolls and culture war there. And I don't think it comes out in the real world very much.
I think that it is, I couldn't answer the question of what's the geography of this, but I suspect it's largely tilted towards the US with some following in the UK. And if we look at that podcast, one of the presenters is British and the other one's American. I agree on it being an echo chamber, and hopefully the positive side of it can be there in that it could be part of that cathartic healing process after a bad relationship to have a forum to get it out there, have someone tell you that it's not you, you're a good person and the best person, and give you some advice for moving on about improving yourself first. And one of the things they say about being a queen is that you should be kind of self-reliant and have your own interests, your own active life, and be okay with your own company before you even start dating. So some of those are not bad principles. But I do think that this is the mirror side of a toxic male culture of incels and red pill. This is that for women. It's a nice summary that other people have come to that conclusion as well. If we take a physics principle and apply it to the metaphysical, specifically Newton's third law of motion, which of course I would quote, a man, Newton, the bastard, of course I would. How horrible of me. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction, is the well-touted phrase. And this kind of subculture is that pushback from incels, red pills, and pickup artistry in forming message groups and web pages that are the version of that positively for women. But unfortunately, I do agree that it's a sign of, or maybe a result of, a polarizing world where people go online to pour out their frustrations, but then they're surrounded by other like-minded individuals. And if you don't take the positive side out of it, you're kind of just ending up with this anonymized view from other hurt women and posters who may or may not be women, and you're just tending to wind each other up and kind of making it worse, unless you can have a degree of self-awareness and say, that's enough of that. And like you say, move on.
Yeah. I'd love to get some data on the community. Age, how long people are active for before they leave, on, you know, just do some of these kind of studies we've had for other stuff, but it doesn't seem to be out there. I don't think, which is totally apt for this, I don't think these people are very interested in studying themselves.
No, there's not a great deal of self-reflection.
that's a core principle. You don't need to do that because you're great.
You're unmovable. I don't think that it's going to get worse. I think it's almost had its heyday when it was, you know, the tinderbox of the internet kicked it all off and it was suddenly a new thing. This strategy came out. And now, as I said, I think it's almost winding down, or it's taming itself, and it's more becoming about pushing the podcast, which will just become clickbaity, lol about men, and move on and just get over it. I think it's not dying out. Like, the followers might still be going up, but I don't think it's going to have a huge cultural impact.
They have a lot of episodes on that podcast. Shout out Female Dating Strategy podcast.
Yeah. Want to do some cross promotion?
I don't think they'll love this episode. I think we've struck some balance, though. I don't think we've been total pigs.
Yes, us two white male scroats have definitely decided that we've done a good job of covering this all-female topic. Good job, us. Good job, man.
Solved another one. Case closed, Detective Andrew.
I spent a good few hours on this. I was really trying to understand it as I went through, and I just had to stop several times because I couldn't get over the round and round in circles logic that I was finding. Maybe I'm not. I might just not be intelligent enough to get it.
Could be. Could be. You are a scroat, after all.
Exactly. And we're all pieces of shit.
I listened to quite a few of the podcast episodes, and there's truth mixed into it, but there's also rapid fire torrent of things which are just wrong that get rolled out. And before you've even wrapped your head around, how could you think that the next one's come out as well? No offense to that podcast, but I felt like I was getting dumber the more I listened to it. So I made it through about, I don't know, maybe 2 hours in total of about 6 different episodes. I think I had a pretty good dose of it.
So if you're interested, you can go and give them a listen and form your own opinions on who's given a more rounded worldview, us or the people that hate us. And while you're clicking around the internet, you can now follow us on the social bullshits. We can now be found on Twitter or X. That's the new name, right? I'm not too behind the times. It's not called Sex Walrus now.
No, it's not Sex Walrus yet.
You can follow us on Sex Walrus if you can find it. But we are on X at SubSubCultPod. SubSubCultPod. So leave us a comment or your own suggestions for topics that we can mishandle in the future.
That we can treat with ham-fisted oven gloves.
By two white male scroats. And you can also check out our previous episodes and our special side quests, which can be found on your favorite place for podcasts, whether that's Apple, Amazon Music, Spotify, or any other reputable podcast source.
We should get on some disreputable ones as well. I think it will make us edgy.
We are. I've got the Russians on it. Don't worry.
That's it.
Join us again on the Sub Culture podcast for a new and horrifying topic.
That's your lot. Now fuck off.
You scrote bitch. Pick me.
If you enjoyed today's episode, why not check out some other alternative content from some of our friends?
Welcome to the That's Effin' Weird podcast, where we cover anything weird.
A month later, her foot was found in a retention pond 115 miles away.
Unsettling.
He reinstates a bounty system that was used during the French and Indian War, which is a scalp bounty. So basically, you get paid $134 if you bring back an enemy Native American scalp.
Informative.
The costume that they used for that Bigfoot episode was the same costume in a Harry and the Hendersons.
Oh, wow.
Really?
And sometimes funny.
Digging their claws into me would be something that would, I don't know if I could, I think it would hurt. I mean, obviously it would hurt, but I don't know.
This is for survival, though. You got time to think about the pain afterward.
True.
I mean, you're fighting for your life here. Yeah, it hurts when I'm just, trying to eat my breakfast and the cat scratches me.
If there's anything you guys want us to cover, be sure to leave us a comment or hit us up in our Discord. But just remember, we don't want stuff that's normal. We want stuff that's effing weird.